This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
9:20 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. Let's get a quick look at the FBM KLCI.
Currently still in the green, it is up 0.3%, 1,424 points.
All right, but we're taking a look at Asia's regional growth outlook. It has deteriorated over the last month as recessionary fears bite. Even the MSCI Asia Index has declined by 26% on a year-to-date basis.
Now, all this, of course, contributed by the Fed's more aggressive tightening policy as inflation remains stubbornly high, but Asia's inflation issues do look less severe than in the US and Europe, and the post-COVID normalization may provide some support for Asian demand. However, China's economy did moderate in the third quarter, while exports also weakened in July and August.
Are there any markets in Asia that appear more insulated from a slowing Chinese economy and more tightening ahead from the Fed? For some answers, we speak to Tan Teng Bu, CEO and MD of Capital Dynamics Group. Good morning, Teng Bu. Thanks very much for joining us today. So what do you make of the current bounce in equities? Have markets reached bottom? Is there signs of inflation easing, or is this just another bear market rally?
Great question. I wish I have a simple answer. Unfortunately, in the stock market, we do not have perfect vision. We only have perfect hindsight. No, it's just a relief rally. I think we're still, if you look at the, basically from America, if you look at America's macroeconomic situation, America's economy is actually the weakest in the world. So you have very strong inflation, overheated economy, very too much budget deficit spending, and a monetary policy that is really far behind time. So I don't think we are there yet.
Okay, so maybe you can give us some color in terms of what are the milestones or turning points are you monitoring before being more invested in equities? I mean, what is your current cash level?
It depends. We have many different types of funds. For our Malaysian fund, we have about 35-40% cash. So I think the milestones, you got to look at every recession, every bear market is different. The consequences are the same. People get out of job, people go bankrupt. But the cause and effect are always different. So in this particular cycle, meaning starting from early 2020, I see the current bear market the same cycle as the one in early 2020. If you look at it in total, this recession slash bear market is unprecedented. You have the usual overheating. You have the usual monetary tightening. But on top of that, you have the pandemic and geopolitics. But the most unpredictable of all the factors that we have is climate change. So you have a global situation where we have many traditional factors causing the bear market and recession, and many first-time factors. Mm-hmm. The geopolitics, the climate change, the pandemic, this has never, they have never created such a situation for the global economy before.
So with all that in mind then, Teng Bu, which asset class should investors be putting their money in now? There seems to be no real safe haven apart from the mighty US dollar.
Oh, the Sing dollar is pretty mighty. The Sing dollar has appreciated against the mighty US dollar. But safe haven, a haven is what? A haven, there is no such thing as a perfect haven. The haven is an asset, there's a haven is one where the risks are probably mostly discounted. And even should a worse outcome occur, you are still well protected. So if you define risk, not in terms of volatility, but in terms of safety, then you find that, ironically, the Chinese stocks would be the best.
Why is that so? Is it because it's come down the most also? Or do you see value there?
Yeah, it's not come down the most. I mean, a lot of American stocks have plunged. You know, Meta, or what we used to call Facebook, has plummeted. Well, it's dropped, I think, 65-70%.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is undervalued. And the Chinese economy is very, it's the opposite of the American economy. The only thing that is holding back the Chinese economy is the exit from the dynamic zero COVID policy. That's it. Other than that, the Chinese economy doesn't have soaring inflation. Monetary policy is advance ahead, budget deficit is well managed, it has a current account surplus, it has a currency. Yes, it is, weakened against the US dollar, but within a very narrow band, just like the Sing dollar is well managed.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it is a haven.
Okay, but that haven does come with its a fair degree of volatility, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't really qualify as a safe haven, as in if we look at the beta of Chinese stocks, I'm sure it's quite high.
Yeah, as I explained earlier, to us, risk is not volatility. Volatility is opportunity. Mm. Risk is where, you bought into Micron Technology, you bought into NVIDIA, you bought into Meta, and you thought that there's hardly any risk because the circular growth story is there. But before you know it, you're down 60-70%.
Yeah, but are you concerned about the high level of Chinese debt, especially the potential collapse of the property sector, though, and the contagion effect might have?
Ah, that is the narrative from the Western media. If you look at the hard facts tell you that the property sector in China is actually the slowdown that you saw, so to speak, was policy driven, was intended. It is to make sure that the leveraging that you talk about doesn't worsen further, and that this is a good time for the Chinese government to get a hold of this leveraging in the property sector.
All right, Tengbo, you're very bullish on the Chinese market. What sector or stocks look too cheap to ignore now then over there?
I'm not the only bullish one. I mean, literally every stock you can. I mean, look, I just give an example. Expressway operator in Guangdong. Guangdong is the richest province in China. It is as big as the German economy with 70, 80 million people. It's an expressway giving investors a dividend yield of 11-12%. Now, that is almost like utility. And I have a dividend yield, let alone capital appreciation, of 11-12%. So across the board, whether it is even for the property sector, are you saying that the Chinese government will allow the property sector to go bust? No. I mean, if Europe, America can rescue the property sector 14 years ago in 2008, I'm sure China's government will do the same thing. After all, the Chinese urbanization is still far from what it's supposed to be.
All right, then, Tengbo, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Tan Tengbo, Managing Director of Capital Dynamic, saying that we should be looking to China in a sense for the recovery. It's really just the zero COVID
policy at the moment. But I think still some headwinds from the economic perspective. I mean, he does think that the Chinese property market won't collapse. Indications are that it won't, but I think there will be some pain points. But this is a market definitely you can't ignore.
9:28 in the morning, we're heading into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin, and then after that on Ringgit and Cents, Sim Wee Boon speaks to Professor Dr. Winnie Chi of IMU to get tips on how to eat healthy on a budget. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.